listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 108 of Arkansas Prep Extra. My name is Kyle Sutherland, and as always, we are powered by SB Live Sports. And I want to welcome, first off, the spring sports fans back. If this is your first time since, what was it, last June that we did our last episode for the 2023 season, but we are back for season three of, again, the spring sport edition. We're going to start it off, as always, with our guy, Kevin Bohannon, a.k.a. the Baseball Guru. Kevin, I think this is now year five or six, one of those two for you and I. I know this is year three, obviously, for baseball, but doing podcast in some capacity. But yeah, crazy five. It's already here. It seems just like yesterday we were starting stuff for August for football season. But here we go again for another baseball and softball year.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun this year. You know, last year, it seems like it was over with, and it always feels like this during spring sports season because it kind of feels like it's in the middle of everything, even though it's at the end of a school year. So it's the shortest season. It goes like 10 weeks and you're done. But there's a lot of hype this year. The 2024 class is big in terms of talent for the state of Arkansas. I think we had 82-83 signees when we did signing day back in November, and then there's been more that have come on since then. So a lot of talent around the state, no matter what classification you look at. And I think there's going to be a little bit more parity this year. Of course, last year, five of our preseason number one selections ended up winning the state title. The only one that wasn't was Valley View. And guess what? They're going to be number one again when our rankings come out next week because they're absolutely loaded. They're actually having their media day on Thursday this week at 1:30, and I get to take part in that. That's really kind of cool. You don't see very many high schools doing a media day, but really cool. And they were the only one. Little Rock Christian won 5A last year, and they're going to be a competitor again this year, but a lot more parity across 2A. And then 6A, I think's more wide open than it has been.
And one thing I do want to mention while we're still at the top of the show here, we are going to do things a little bit differently this year. And the only thing different is it's going to be basically split into two episodes. Obviously, we talk a lot of baseball and softball in here. Talk a lot of baseball with Kevin, and we'll talk some softball with Jared, as we've done the past couple of years. But it's just we've kind of done some things over the past year, and that's what we try to do every year. We're still a pretty young company, try to make some adjustments and tweaks, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to put a baseball episode out, and we're going to put a softball episode out. So that's just something different. So that way, you know, I know some people listen to the full thing, some listen to only baseball and only softball, and some listen to maybe just a class and a segment. So that's just going to make it easier for the listener and for everybody to kind of keep it balanced. So with that being said, we will start at the top of class, at the top with class 6A, as we always do. Kevin, I think you just mentioned something about, I think it was 6A, you said that there might be a little bit more parity, or maybe that it was loaded, either one of the two, but the West definitely is loaded, starting up there at the top with Springdale Harbor. They bring a lot of talent back from a state championship team, their first state championship since 2018. Also, you've got to think about Bentonville. Fayetteville's got quite a few arms in there that I know you want to talk about. Also, Rogers, that won 26 games last season, is in the mix. So kind of mention those teams right there. Maybe also, I know Rogers Heritage probably is another one to watch. So talk about just the depth of the West overall. I mean, you just mention those names right there, and there might be even a couple of more.
You know, Rogers, they beat everybody last year. They were 26-3, got upset in the semifinals last year. So, or quarterfinals last year. Yeah, Bentonville beat them. So Rogers was number one just throughout the back half of the whole year last year. And Springdale Harbor started out Ross Felder. Of course, the University of Arkansas commit was nails every time he was on the bump. It was how are they going to match him on the back end of a doubleheader when they do home and home in the 6A West? And they would win the first game, lose the second, you know, against the upper tier teams like Bentonville West, which should be better this year. Rodgers, they just didn't have the back end. And talking to Coach Dustin Helmkamp at the end of last year, they said, just kind of figured it out. You know, sometimes that light bulb comes on and you start hitting, you start scoring runs, and everything just kind of clicks for you. So they've got the pieces back. Braden Sprague at first, who I know played quarterback for Harbor this past year, broke just about every quarterback record for a single season. Caleb Keola just committed to his college of choice. And, I mean, they're loaded, man. I mean, they got enough guys. Luke Cornelison at third base committed to Arkansas. So, on paper, yeah, you got everybody returning. It should be, you know, you should be in the mix at the end. But so does Bentonville. Eli McCall, Rowan Christensen behind the plate. They're a good team. And Coach Abbott, they're a senior-laden team. I think they got 12 or 13 seniors. And then somebody like Rogers Heritage that was 17-2 last year. You got pitchers that are committed to Wichita State. You got D1 arms out there. So it's going to be a dogfight in the West. So while they're beating up on each other, what happens in the Central? Last year, Cabot cruised. I say cruised. They won the Central last year. And I think they're the best team in the 6A Central again this year. They've got two Division I arms in Aiden Velasquez, who's committed to UCA for this year, and then Cale Turner for the 2025 class is committed to Oklahoma State. Those two guys are 90-plus arms. And when you're playing conference doubleheaders or two games during a week, if those guys can go five or six innings, you're going to win just about every conference game. So you got them and Conway. Conway got Bo Billick, who transferred from Bigelow, who's committed to UCA, and they've got some other pieces. Sean Fisher, I believe the name. Sean's first name, and I'll get this, the last name here in a minute, but he was a all-newcomer team last year for Scorebook Live. They're going to be good. Leighton Hardin always puts out a competitive team because of what they do in the offseason to prepare. And then Catholic, Brooks Ward was All-State last year. He was on our first team, All-Arkansas team. So you got three teams right there in Catholic, Conway, and Cabot, the three Cs. They're always going to be at the top looking to win that Central. It was overloaded in the West last year when we got to the state tournament and down to the end. It was just like the West won everything. Fayetteville, who we haven't even talked about. Landon Schaefer, no hit Catholic in the first round last year. So him and Jason Delamar are a great 1-2 punch. Charlie Graves in the outfield. He's going to be a college baseball player. It's time for Fayetteville to take that next step. They've always been kind of lurking right there beneath the surface, even though they can play anybody to a 3-2, 4-3 game. They've got to be good enough to win just about every game they play now to win a state title. So it'll be competitive. Injuries are going to play a factor early on. We're not going to release any injury information on this episode or anything, but by the time the season starts, we'll be able to report on it, hopefully, and see. Hopefully nobody's hurt, but we have heard some rumors that some key players on certain teams may be out for a little bit of time. So 6A is wide open, man, in my opinion. Still can't hear you.
You talked about all of the – I keep forgetting, man, what I keep muting my mic. And this is something – I'm using my soundboard again to I think I was telling Nate this a couple of weeks ago. I was using my soundboard again for the first time. I hadn't been using it until I noticed that the – sound was all crappy. Now I've got to like make a note. You know how I am, Cabo. I got to make like put sticky notes everywhere and remind myself to do it. Yeah, exactly. Put it on my forehead. But hopefully the third time will be a charm and I won't forget to turn that or turn my mic back on. But you looked at the 6A state tournament last year. You just talked about how it was overloaded once you got to the semifinals. You had Rogers Heritage and Harbor, then you had Rogers and Bentonville. But in those quarterfinal matchups, you look at the top there, Rogers Heritage 8-1 over Cabot, and then Harbor 8-1 over Springdale. I don't know if those scores were necessarily surprising or anything, but I think probably one of the biggest surprises was Springdale 7-5 over Bryant. I know that was, you know, Bryant was kind of up and down and stuff, but was that maybe one? I don't know if it maybe surprised you at the time that it happened just because of maybe the way the teams might have been playing or anything, but as far as Bryant losing in the first round, that's just not something that you see very often.
It's not, and they're going to be a different team this year. That we didn't even touch on them. With Garrett Bach taking over, they've got a couple of good arms in Gideon Motes and Rich Sutherland. Motes is going to Michigan, and Sutherland's going to Oklahoma next year. So they got a couple pieces back, Grant Johnson, and I know they're going to be competitive. Bach's teams have always played hard, whether he was at Greenbrier Hot Springs Lakeside as an assistant. They're gonna play hard. So they're gonna be more of a factor this year. And you know, talking about Rogers Heritage, you know, Dylan Askew was a big arm last year. Parker Morris is the one that's going to Wichita State. So like I said, it's wide open. I don't think it'll be surprising outside of Rogers. You may have multiple teams with close to double-digit losses, but they're going to be good losses at the end of the year.
Down in Class 5A, the one that probably a lot of us are, or a lot of people are wanting to hear us talk about, Valley View, the loaded squad that they are, and what a past 2 years that it's been, because, you know, they've obviously played great competition. They've had great teams, and they are two walk-offs away from being three-time state champions. And just, it's one of those, it's about as double-edged of a sword as you can get, because yes, you want to get to the state finals. You're happy to be there. Now, I know that they obviously wanted more than just happiness of being there, but the way that that happened, I don't know that you'll, I've said this about plenty of teams that have lost state championships in heartbreaking fashion or gotten on deep runs and they ended in heartbreaking fashion. It's hard for me to imagine with the talent that is on this team and the way that the last 2 years have ended and so many guys back that know what both of those years feel like and all that that they experienced. He's got to be as driven as ever on maybe one of the deep, probably one of the deepest teams that Arkansas has ever fielded in high school baseball.
Yeah, especially when you look at top end talent. So Eli Kristelius has two starts on the mound in a state championship game. He started last year against Little Rock Christian, 2 years ago against Harrison. The game against Harrison, they lost in 10 innings on a walk-off sack fly. Last year, they get walked off, of course, by Bowman against Little Rock Christian at UCA. So, you know, what does it look like for Valley View now? What are the expectations are through the roof? You've got a guy that could be the highest draft pick in Arkansas high school baseball history with Slade Caldwell. He's anywhere from end of first round to the middle of the first round. He's top five, top 10 now, top 10 in high school rankings nationally. So that's pretty big. Caden Wallace was at number five at one point. Braylon Bishop was up there nationally, you know, when you look back over the past few years. But the pitching is next level with Lance Davis. He's 6'4", 190. Committed to Arkansas. He's 90 to 93. Kristelius is going to be 86 to 88 comfortably, but he may take that bump to 88 to 91 this year. Lawson Ward committed to Arizona, committed to Arkansas, decommitted. Now he's committed to Arizona State. So there's four Power Five arms because Caldwell was a pitcher last year, went 7-1 and was their number two guy and pretty much unhittable towards the back end of the season. So Ward will get to catch. That's great. He can do his job, and if you need him as a closer, great, you can do it. But, you know, then you got Owen Roach and you got Becker at short at third. They're just Drew Gartman, who's committed to Arkansas State. Just about every position has a Division I commit or signee out there. So they, on paper, they're one of the most talented teams in Arkansas baseball history. Now, can they do it? I can sympathize with what Coach Josh Allison's going through because I went through it as a player coming back in 99. We had everybody back, lost to Batesville in the finals. Anybody that has heard me talk about this knows the story. We went 33-4, moved up classification, and won the whole thing in 99, beat Conway in the finals. And it's Sean Cover, the sophomore from Conway. He was on our all-newcomer team last year, so I didn't want to forget that, Sean Cover. It's every day they want to win at practice. They're taking it one day at a time, which is what you have to do. If you take care of everything day by day, the end goal is going to take care of itself. And, you know, we interviewed Josh Allison prior to the championship game last year and talked to him throughout the season. You know, they're just going to take it day by day. And that's what they need to do right now. They're going to face a loaded schedule. They go and play Fayetteville and Bentonville at the end of April again. So they're playing Little Rock Christian again. They're playing Magnolia Heights. They're playing Oxford High School. They're playing just about anybody in the region that will play them. And last couple weeks ago, Coach Allison called me and said, "Hey man, March 5th, got a game open. Need to find somebody. I need some help. If you know anybody that's got any opening," he said, we're traveling enough. We'd like them to come here if they can. So kudos to him and his staff for willing to play anybody and everybody. But they're the top right now. They're who everybody is going to be gunning for. But Little Rock Christian may be right underneath them at talent-wise. Jackson Kircher saw his stock just soar last year. 6'3", 6'4". He measured in at 6'5", 225. And ran a 6'8 at the Super 60 for PBR a couple of weeks ago. He's 93 on the mound, up to 94, and can hit it a mile. He had three triples against Mall Mel in the conference doubleheader last year that clinched the conference title for the Warriors. So Tate Collins is going to be big on the mound. He's a UCA commit. And then you got Bowman at short, who's their spark plug and was the MVP last year, along with Reese Torini. So they're going to miss Reese. That you can't just replace innings and production like that. He's been their ace the last 3 years. So Little Rock Christian's going to be good in the Central. Sylvan Hills is going to be a dark horse. They got a couple of commitments. Landon Carter moved from North Little Rock over to Sylvan Hills. He's an Arkansas commit. And then the young Everett Byrd is a pitcher. Caleb Harrison on the mound. They're going to have arms to compete in that Central. Benton, Marcus Bates is an Arkansas commit. He's young. And then they got Payne, who patrols center field out there. He's good on the football field. What, he had 10 catches for 200 yards against Little Rock Christian. And
I think he had over 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah,
very
good athlete. So Coach Ballesteri, their program's always good. Sheridan's always competitive. Batesville's going to be good with Mark Brissy and Bo Baxter. They're 1-2 punch back. And then Connor Cunningham, he's committed to Murray State at shortstop. One of the most unheralded guys that's not talked about enough, and I put that on me as well. He's one of the best shortstops in the state, and nobody talks about him enough. So Connor Cunningham, Baxter, and Brissy are going to carry Batesville a long ways. And then you talk about Greenwood. Grant Carnes committed to Wichita State. Austin Mitchell, who was All-State 2 years ago. That's a good one. Excuse me. That's a good 1-2 punch out of the West. So you got a lot of parity. Of course, it's really top heavy. Of course, we know that, but it's going to be a great. It's always the most fun tournament to watch because last year Little Rock Christian almost didn't get out of the first round. Hot Springs Lakeside had them on the ropes and they had to walk them off in the bottom of the seventh inning. Dylan Gibson, who is at Crowder right now, pitched a gem of a game for the Rams and almost beat the Warriors before they could even get out of there. So it's going to be a fun event. The 5A, I believe, is at Harrison this year. So may have to go up there in Goblin Country and catch some baseball.
You mentioned Benton. Benton kept, what was it, a one? I think it was 1-0 game to Valley View. And also Maumelle as well.
Yep.
Yeah, the quarterfinals. And Maumelle as well, that you might have touched on them. Mm-hmm. But, hey, man, they're pitching. And it's like they got to do something this year, right? I mean, I think they've got one of their pitchers is a junior Arkansas commit.
And then a senior, Tag Andrews.
A senior. So, okay, yeah.
So Tag is a senior Razorback signee, and Peyton Lee, Evan Lee's young cousin, is a commit for the 2025 class. Last night in their benefit game, which would have been Tuesday night against Mike Magnolia, they won 5-0. Andrews and Lee threw back-to-back. Andrews threw the first four innings, struck out 9, and then Lee came in and struck out 7 over the last three innings. So 16 combined strikeouts. Tag was 92 to 94 up to 95, and Peyton was 90 to 92 up to 93. Andrews plus changeup, Lee plus slider. So that 1-2 punch is going to be trouble for a lot of people. Last year, going into the Little Rock Christian series, which is the last series of the year for all the marbles in the 5A Central, Little Rock Christian got on Tag early, got plenty of runs, ended up winning that game pretty handedly, and then the second game was a little bit closer. With Peyton on the mound. So if they can score some runs, Blaze Ward at shortstop committed to the University of Missouri. Alan Timmons is back. So they've got the pieces, score a lot of runs. Let your pitching and defense do the work, man, because they have the arms to do it. They made the – as far as any Maumelle Mill team has made it in the past in the state tournament, they got to the semifinals. So, Maumelle Mill is definitely going to be in that top five. Our Super 7 comes out next week.
It's still talking season for just a little bit. I know we got benefit games and stuff like that, but while we're still in 5A, I'm just going to put you on the spot. I think that it's a almost a sure bet. And I, well, it's not a sure bet. Right now, it's looking very likely that Slade Caldwell is going to be a first round pick. Yeah. Do you, and what you know right now, think that he makes it to Oxford, Mississippi to play for Ole Miss?
No.
100% probably MLB.
Yeah.
Or to the pros. Yeah.
Yeah, to the pros. You just can't pass up first round money and first round everything that comes with it. That's stuff that only a minute percentage of people ever get to experience, being the first pick of the draft for a Major League Baseball team. And there are going to be scouts galore at every game this year. They're going to have cross checkers there, area scouts. They've already seen enough to project him, but I don't think they've seen everything he can do. And that's scary because, and I'll say this, if Slade was 6 foot or 6'1", he'd be a top 10 pick, but he's 5'8", 5'9".
Wow.
And for the way he plays the game and at the speed he plays the game, he does it all. He checks every box for me. And I coached Caden Wallace, and I thought Caden was he'd been the best ball player I'd seen to this point. And Slade takes that a step further because of the speed, the versatility, plus he's left-handed. Scouts love that even more. So he's a plus defender out there because he can run. The arm is getting – I mean, he's good. He's 83, 85 off the mound, and, I mean, he can throw it 90-plus from the outfield. So if you were going to get really nitpicky and say, what's the knock, which is not a knock, the arm could be stronger if you want to really find something.
Then down in Class 4A, another team that had a ton of hype last year, like Valley View did, they did win a state championship. And I say that, I don't mean to sound that like Valley View didn't live up to the hype. I mean, they got walked off. I mean, I don't mean that like it, as bad as it sounds. But what I'm getting at, another team that had a lot of really good hype, a lot of big-time hype in Lone Oak, they did come out with a state championship. I believe it was their second in school history, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, you know, it's kind of right there at this point. Once again, just about them and everybody else, I think, since you and I have talked about. I know Brooklyn is a team that, even though they lost one of their top guys, you know, they kind of expect to run the East. Look at Gravette, the 2023 defending softball champion, state champion, that they won their first in school history. Well, their baseball guys expect to be pretty good too this year, coming off of a semifinal run last year. So you've also got teams like Farmington, Huntsville, up there in Northwest Arkansas, and then a little bit further south, you've got Morrilton. So kind of talk about, again, Lone Oak is not just the team in Central Arkansas, but the team to beat in all of Class 4A, Brooklyn up there in the east, and then some of those to watch up in the northwest part of the state.
Yeah, Lone Oak, they got the Fab Five coming back. Steeleaves committed to the University of Arkansas, Tripp Sullivan, LSU, Eunice on the mound. Cutter Colbert's going to Neosho in Kansas. Cole Spears is also going to Neosho in Kansas. Then Jackson Engel, the only player to hit a home run at the state finals last year at UCA. So those five right there, they're going to Engel's younger brother's coming up. He's going to be there. He's going to catch this year. So they're playing some tough teams early on. You'll get to see them in Valley View. And I think them and Maumelle at the Southwest Sporting Goods Classic on the 27th and 28th. It'll be really interesting to see how their workload goes, because just about all of them, that was their production last year. You know, Sullivan down the stretch, Engel was more the number two starter, and he also did it at the plate too. So if Sullivan can really dial in and get back to kind of where his trajectory was going, they'll be even better, because Eves is going to throw strikes. He's going to dominate everybody because of that pitchability. He's a three-pitch guy that is smart. He's going to University of Arkansas, just about everything paid academic wise. So when you got guys like that, it's pretty easy as a coach, and Coach Eagle knows it, but they still demand, you know, a high level of accountability in that program, which you just can't roll the ball out there and say, hey, we're good on paper, so we should beat everybody. Robinson's going to be good. Logan Eichler, the young guy who pitched in the state tournament last year against Morrilton, he's been up to 89-90. So he's a young guy to watch out for. And, you know, they're always going to be in that conversation in that 5-4A. Brooklyn, up northeast part of the state, they're going to be in the conversation. Of course, they lost Dax Webb to Valley View, but they've got Griffin Duvall back at short, Jake Reese on the mound. So that they're going to be there. And then northwest part of the state, Farmington should always be good because of everybody that they get there. You know, they've got guys that are playing college baseball right now. Trey Hill's catching behind Jake Wright at UALR. And Coach Harper does a really good job with that program. In Huntsville with Greg Harris, they were there a couple of years ago in the semifinals. They're looking to get back. So Shiloh, you know, we got the news the other day. Alan Gum was hired as their head coach for the 2024 season. What kind of impact is he going to have this year? Is it going to be kind of as a consultant, or is he just going to wait till June 1st to start? It'll be interesting to see. Jamie Beers took over that program in December. So they've got some talent. Brock Billingsley behind the plate is, you know, going to MIT to play baseball. And anybody knows that if you go to MIT, you got to be a little bit book smart.
So. Yeah, I'm about to say he's going to be fine either way, regardless of what route he goes.
Yeah, when your mascot's the Engineers, you're pretty sold on academics at that point. So that's one thing that I love about, you know, doing what we do is seeing stories like that. So Morrilton, Luke Carner, and of course, Mike Lee took over after Matt Long retired. Mike Lee, Evan Lee's dad, who is the Mike was the AD at Bryant, takes over that Morrilton program. Great facilities. They've hosted a couple 4A state tournaments and 4A regionals. And they're, you know, if that conference can beat the 1-4A, I think Morrilton's got a real shot. They got to the state tournament last year, Duncan Blakely. They got to the second round and just kind of ran out of gas. So Luke Carner can carry them a little ways. And they got a young guy, too, that was lights out. Then go to the bottom part of the state, Nashville, with their quarterback coming back. Carson, he pitched really well last year as a freshman. Magnolia's going to be a little bit better. They play defense and pitch real well. Offense has got to come around. Stuttgart has got some pieces back. So it's a wide open below Lone Oak, so to speak. Ashdown, of course, they got to the finals last year. They've got some tools back. Shortstop's committed to the University of Arkansas. I really like it, and it's always going to be fun because only 12 teams make it. There's only three regionals and four teams make it out of that. I think if they went to a 16-team tournament, they would be a lot like 5A.
Let's touch on Stuttgart for a second. They were kind of one of the darlings of 4A last year, had a really good run, and then things just fell apart for them a little bit there in the South Regional and weren't able to go to the state tournament. So I know that's kind of a team that you've been talking about there a little bit. Like, do a little bit more on them. You know, I just, again, because I know that was one that every single week last year it seemed like we were just talking about they're just staying hot, and then again, you know, it's sometimes when you get on those long streaks, it's not always the best thing.
Yeah, and you know, Landon Melnichuk is going to get to play college baseball. He's their senior leader, and he hit over 400 last year, and they won their conference. Conference was down a little bit, you know, Camden, Fairview, Magnolia, Monticello, some teams that Star City that traditionally had been pretty good and made it, won state championships. They were down a little bit. So that 7-8 4A, that's the 4A South Regional, this Conference 7, Conference 8. They're always good battles when they meet up. So Melnichuk, if people will have to pitch around him this year to win, Dylan Duncan is back. As a senior, they've got a lot of underclassmen on this roster and only three seniors, with Ross Atkinson being the other one. So got some pieces to replace from last year, but they'll have a shot. And as you know, once you get to regionals, you got to win one game to get to state, and that's got to be the goal of this Stuttgart-Riceburg team.
If you're a fan of 3A, Kevin, you might want to, and if you're a fan of 3A and you're not a fan of private schools, you might want to take some Tylenol while you're following it through this year, because Central Arkansas Christian, after their semifinal run, they're going to be one of the contenders again. Of course, Harding Academy, they're the three-time defending state champions, so I might as well mention them first. So essentially, the two Church of Christ powers, which, you know, both of them are obviously very close to my heart, being a CAC alum and knowing so many people from Harding Academy. But you look at the CAC. Look, we'll talk about Harding Academy as well, Kevin, but look at the CAC team. You know, not just Grayson Wilson, the Arkansas football commit that at one point, I've actually got a story coming out about this, at one point could have been a Razorback baseball commit or just a big-time college baseball player or prospect if he would have chosen that route. You also got Webb Watson, who's going to Memphis. I think there's maybe one or two others. I mean, you got multiple other good players, maybe one other college guy that I'm missing. But CAC and Harding Academy. I mean, if we're talking about Central Arkansas, it probably starts right there with those two.
That's exactly right. And Grayson Wilson, and the problem is these guys are playing basketball right now, and their basketball team's pretty good. If you've just woken up from under a rock, CAC's won, like, what, 22 straight games now? I don't know what it is.
They lost to Lamar in the regional finals, but they've won, like, 21 of 22 or something like
that. Yeah, so you see that their athletic program continues to roll after their quarterfinal finish in football. They're going to make the state tournament. So what's baseball going to look like? So they played Conway in a scrimmage game on Tuesday, lost 6-3, and that's pretty good. Of course, Hayden Cruz, the athletic director, is acting head coach again this year. Now, athletic director just jumps in and takes over? No, Hayden Cruz was the head baseball coach before he took the athletic director's job. So Coach Cruz knows exactly how to get these guys motivated. And, you know, Harrison Richmond, player, Overstreet's a senior. You got Grayson Wilson on the mound and Webb Watson. You got the guys that can go out there, and their conference is weak. I'll just be honest with you. Look, their conference is weak. They're going to be fine through that. They'll take advantage of that. Throw Grayson once a week, get him built up. And then it's just matchups in the state tournament. You know, last year when they got to the finals, to the semifinals, you had the rain up there, and it just kind of didn't break their way, so to speak. So if they're going to be right there at the top with Harding Academy, in my opinion, you know, if you look at, they'll be top four for sure. Harding Academy, yeah, they lost Kate Smith and Levi Lang. That's okay. They got Isaac Baker back, who was in football, Isaac Baker, the touchdown maker, a little acronym or moniker we gave him, coming off Connor Baker 2 years ago. But Kyler Hoover at shortstop, he signed with Harding University. And then his brother Cam Hoover at second base. Then they got Kanan Harris at first. Bentley Hawks was relied upon as a freshman last year. Then you got Cam Norris. You just got Camden Pryor's another sophomore. They got a lot of young guys on this team that are going to get some time. And Coach Shane Fullerton always puts out a winning product. I expect Harding to be in the conversation again for not only, you know, to get far, but for a state title once again. Bismarck, they've got quite a few guys back. Go up to northeast part of the state, Walnut Ridge. Nolan Belcher playing really well on the showcase circuit this past summer. Rex Tedder, Belcher's committed to Arkansas State. Tedder's going to go to UCA. Elkins is going to be good again. Dean comes back. Dizzy Dean, Slade Dean, they're going to be good. They ran into Prescott. Pierce Yates, if you got one arm, you can get to the state tournament. You can win a game. If you got two, you can get pretty far. If you got three, you most likely are going to win it. So Rivercrest, of course, with Connor Vaughn signing with UALR, making it to the finals last year against Harding Academy. It'll be those teams, again, really in the conversation. And then the HGOC, Harmony Grove, Ouachita County. Caleb Johnson is going to go play two sports at Southern Arkansas, baseball and football. They've got guys back. But, Kyle, they just have not got over that hump of getting to the state tournament. I think if they get in the state tournament, they can make some noise. But they've lost in the first round of the regional tournament the last 2 years. You know, 2 years ago, it was Haskell Harmony Grove and those teams out of the 7-3A that just jumped up and bit them, so to speak. Last 2 years, it's been all 7-3A teams except for one. So 8-3A's got to flex some muscle this year, and hopefully Ouachita County can make a run.
Tell us about Bismarck. That was an interesting one. I know that they've got some coming back, and they had back-to-back shutouts to start the state tournament. So tell us about the Lions a little bit.
Yeah, they lost one of their pitchers, and that's going to play a difference moving forward. But they just played really good team baseball. They did the fundamental things right. And if you're not making mistakes and you're not putting extra people on base, you got a chance at the end. So they've got a really good non-conference schedule. They open up with Arkadelphia, and then they got Bauxite, Ouachita in Class 2A. Then they, you know, Magnolia, Spring Hill, Pulaski Academy on March 14th. So they're going to play a really good schedule this year, and I think that's going to test them for later in the year. Caleb Schultz in left field, senior. Then you got Dayton Birchfield, senior. They got a lot of good seniors on this team, but they got a lot of good young talent too. Ben Keithley, of course, Coach's son played quarterback.
Yeah, he had a great football season.
He had a great football season. So outfielder slash catcher, he's going to be relied upon. They're going to be pretty good again.
Then down in 2A, the million-dollar question. Well, we have a new state champion. It looked like a Woodlawn – The Cinderella story, Palestine Wheatley, really showed that Woodlawn is mortal last year in the state finals. And, I mean, I know that maybe not quite the dominance that Woodlawn had in 2022, but that's really the question is, will there be a new state champion in Class 2A for the first time in the post-COVID era?
Yeah, and, you know, Palestine Wheatley making that run, coach getting the interim tag taking off and getting to coach these guys again. They just kind of came out of nowhere. They finished like second or third in their conference. Carlisle was at the top. They're going to be good again with Jonathan Pickard, but you know, Woodlawn, they return a good amount. Tate Hall is going to be back. Jaden Wilmoth is going to play college baseball behind the plate. So they're going to have guys back there. Mansfield, Rector, and Riverside. They're going to be up there as well. Cedar Ridge made to the semifinals last year, kind of out of nowhere. They're going to have a target on their back this year, I think. But I think Woodlawn, yeah, they're going to be the favorite. But as we talked about at the beginning of the show, that there's going to be more parity, and I think it starts at the bottom down there in 2A. Greenland has some young talent. They had a couple of freshmen that made noise last year, and it's all up the middle. They had a catcher and an outfielder out in center field. So, yeah, Woodlawn's going to be up there at the top. Episcopal, they're going to be back again. They've got a few. Drew Grumbles is not back. He's over at John Hopkins, one of the top teams in Division III baseball right now. So Hunter Grumbles is back on the mound, and Andrew Johnston's back. So they got the pieces to make a run again. They just lost in the semifinals last year. Parker's Chapel and Horatio, always good in the South. They're going to be a team to look out for down there. A lot of history down there with the Lions and the Trojans. So everybody's going to be battling, try to take down Woodlawn. It's always funny this time of the year. Start looking back, you know, Tommy Richardson's won, what, 9 or 10 now? And
I think 9,
30,
yeah.
Yeah, 9 and 30 in 30 years. So he's like, I got to get one out of every.
That's not bad. Hey, a 30-year career ending in state championships, that's not bad.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one for the pinky toe, I guess, if they get one this year to get all 10 of them.
And I wanted to ask you about Sloan Hendricks. That was kind of – I know that they really gave some teams some tough times last year, including Bigelow, that is one of the favorites this year. We'll get into them here in a little bit more in detail here in just a second, just with that that 2024 class that's just been heralded all season and rightfully so, all really school year and rightfully so. But Sloan Hendricks, they knocked out Bigelow, that was the defending 2A runner-up last year, 2-1 in the North Regional. So, you know, Sloan Hendricks, Rector, you mentioned Cedar Ridge, Riverside, some of those NEA teams that could make some noise.
Yeah, and you look at what Sloan Hendricks did, they just go up there, and Bigelow with Hunter Carter is going to – or Hunter's the older one, excuse me, Carter Alexander is the younger one that's committed to UCA. They just – like, pitch, you got a guy, and they've got about four or five guys that are interchangeable at different parts on their defensive lineup. So if you got one guy that goes to the mound, they really don't see too much of a drop-off right there. So that's a key when you get late in the season, especially in a regional or state tournament, to be able to do those type of things and compete with the big dogs of Woodlawn, Episcopal, Carlisle, Bigelow, which has, you know, been really good teams the last couple of years. So the conference, if you look at it, they were down a little bit. Of course, they finished third in their conference and then beat Bigelow. They finished second in their conference, excuse me, then beat Bigelow in the first round and got to the state tournament and started making noise there. So there's a lot of good baseball up in that north central part of the state that we don't get to see a whole lot of because they're basketball schools, and they get to the end of basketball season. Their season really doesn't get going until the end of March, 1st of April. And they're just peaking by about the time postseason baseball comes around, and something to look out for.
And we'll talk about this 2024 Bigelow class, I'm sure, in spurts throughout the season. But back to football, they won their first state championship in school history. An incredible crowd, pretty much all of Perry County and then some was there, and just basically that whole surrounding area. But just from what you – the Carter Alexanders, and, I mean, you just mentioned Brett him, and I know he's been a mainstay at catcher, and he's going to probably play some other spots this year for him. You know, what kind of year would that be for them? You know, I know you were a state champion in baseball, but to possibly get one in baseball, to maybe get back to back in basketball, if they can do that here pretty soon. And then to have a state runner up in golf. Actually, I can't remember if it was a runner up or a state championship in golf. I think it was a championship.
It was a championship.
But all the success that they have had to be able to possibly be able to finish that. And there's a lot of work to do. Man, you can't even imagine what it's like in Bigelow right now to be a Bigelow Panther.
Yeah, you and I talked about this a little bit, and how they do in baseball may be contingent upon how they do in basketball. Because if they go deep into the state tournament, make a run like they did to the finals and win last year, well, it could delay things a little bit, and they could get started a little later. They could get started, spring break, which is fine. You know, really the only thing that matters is go out, win your conference, finish top four, give yourself a chance at regionals, then you can start making noise in state tournament. But, Carter Alexander, Rhett Neumeyer, those are two that stand out right away. Those two have been playing sports all year long. And it's tough to do at this point. So, if those guys are healthy, go out. Coach Neumeyer said they got some guys that have moved in that are going to be pretty good, some young guys that are going to help. So they're going to compete with Episcopal for that conference title for sure. And the way their regionals are matched up, it could be a dogfight once again, but you never know. Once they get down to the final few right there, anything can happen in 2A baseball. Starter has a bad day. Look at Hagan Smith, All-American at Arkansas. Had a rough outing, had to go to the bullpen. If your bullpen, your second, third, fourth guy aren't as good, you fall off really quick, especially in those lower classifications.
And last but not least, in Class 1A, another dynasty. Well, first off, basketball, you just mentioned that, talking about Bigelow. We've got pretty much basketball season that's going to smother any kind of baseball and a lot of softball as well. So that's kind of the main story in Class 1A right now. But another dynasty that is really just continuing to build. We know about the dynasty in softball that Taylor currently has. Hey, the Taylor softball team, and we'll talk about this in the next segment with Jared, but they are going for 7 state titles in a row, trying to become the first softball team in any classification in state history to do so. But you really just have to give it to Brian Fowler, Kevin. You know, last year I did a big story on the softball team at Taylor that also touched on the baseball program. And Coach Frizzell, what he did there, and obviously Coach Fowler was very complimentary of what he was able to do that has really helped him in his job now. But Coach Frizzell really got that dynasty going, got that program to another level, to the top of the mountain. Brian Fowler has gotten them back there, and they are going for that three-peat this year as the Taylor Tigers, and have got a lot of pieces to do it.
Yeah, they're going to miss Peyton and Preston Smith. Those guys are going to play at SAU. But Mason Lindsay's back behind the plate. Waylon Waddell, who came in, I believe he pitched some on the back end last year, but he had a couple hits in the state championship game. Those guys are going to be the corner piece because they got a ton of sophomores. They got about 10 sophomores, a couple more freshmen that are going to be there. But Taylor is one of those schools. They're in the 8-1A, which is down there in South Arkansas, the just same conference, same region as Woodlawn, just a different classification. So they are a baseball factory now. They're a softball factory of 2, of course. But, talking to Coach Fowler, and we did this, a couple years ago after they won, I was just like, man, just walk me through just kind of how everything went. He said, man, these kids put it upon themselves. And you kind of saw it down there too when you went and visited, that it's not an air of superiority. It's an air of blue-collar work ethic. And those guys get after it every day down there. They don't care who they have to play. And, a couple of years ago, they lost 5 games and then just kind of blew through everybody else. Well, that's kind of what they did last year as well. So they're going to play some older teams. They're going to play some teams from different classifications. Then they're going to play teams from Louisiana to get ready for that, postseason run that could end at any time for these lower classification teams, because it only takes one time to slip up. But you got a couple of seniors that you can build around right there. And then you look at the rest of Class 1A, you're going to have a lot of the same teams. The three-headed monster out of the same conference, you got Viola, Norfolk, and Westside Greers Ferry. Those teams traded up, beating up on each other last year, and Viola ended up with a 4 seed out of the regional. Get to play a 1 seed and win the first round. So they're going to be teams to look out for. St. Joe's has some pieces back. They've got a couple of arms that will pitch in college in the Nemo Vista the last 2 years. Taylor has beaten them out of the state tournament 2 years ago in the finals. Those are the teams to really be looking at as we move into Class 1A.
I've loved talking about Norfolk over the past couple. I know that the first year we did this, they were the party crashers. Last year they continued that. What is it this year? I haven't. Is it still the same thing? Are they the same thing?
They have really taken to that. And Ethan Davis is their coach, and he coaches at ASU Mountain Home as well. So the baseball man, he just loves baseball. He loves teaching kids about baseball. And you know, if you remember 2 years ago, they had a couple sophomores that just lit up statistics and 50 steals, 40 steals, hitting over 500. Those guys are older now, so. They're definitely going to be there at the end of the season. And starting out, I don't think their basketball program is all that in a bag of Cheetos. So they're going to get started early. And I wish these teams got to start a little earlier, like basketball does in these lower classifications, because at the end of the season, you got some teams that have played 45, 50 games in basketball. So if baseball got to do that, of course, they don't have the depth to do it. So if they get to do it, if they play a double round robin – in their conference, and then they go to regional, and anything can happen, like I said, in 2A at that point. But Norfolk should be there again this year.
Kevin, this was a fun first episode of the third edition, the inaugural episode of the third edition, I guess, is what I'll go with. But looking forward to it, man. Of course, we're going to get through basketball. This is our little preview that everybody, man. And I got to say, Kevin, I mean, just, and I know you can feel it too, but I've just been overwhelmed with the amount of support that we've gotten from this. I mean, just, I know Jared's gotten quite a few texts, and people have reached out to him about us doing, we did a preview pod last year and it did really well. And we're doing a lot of the same things that we did, like, you know, last year. I know we added the notebooks, the baseball and softball notebooks. We're going to continue to do that this year. So not a whole lot of drastic changes. I know that one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try to go to more games. I went ahead and I got shout out to Rocktown Media, my boy Jack. I don't know if a lot of people know this, Kevin. I know you do, but Rocktown Media, that is just absolutely exploding, becoming national. And do what?
1 million subscribers.
He's got 1 million subscribers on YouTube. He's got over a million on, I think, Insta or TikTok, and 500,000 on Instagram. And yeah, this dude that I grew up with is just blowing up. But yeah, Jason has been a dear friend of mine since I was like 12 years old. And I was talking to him and I was like, man, I really need to get a camera, because I'm just not going to have a camera man everywhere I go. And they're not expensive, or they're not cheap. So I basically had to get everything used, and he helped, man. It's insane the amount of money that stuff costs. But so now I'm going to try to go to some games, excuse me, and I'm going to utilize that while also, I mean, man, we got so much good baseball and softball in this area. I'm going to try to get some for you as well, Kevin, maybe try to sneak over, get some baseball pictures. But man, I'm telling you, this is great time of year, not only assuming that we don't get too much tornado activity and a whole lot of rain. Yeah. Of course, you need some of that, but hopefully we'll get some really nice weather this spring, and it's going to be a great baseball and softball season for sure.
Yeah, we start out next week at Majestic Park in Hot Springs, Southwest Sporting Goods. Shout out to Neil Grote. He started this in 2020. He wanted to get an event where all the scouts could come to and get the best collection of talent in the state of Arkansas in one spot for a couple of days. So it started out as kind of a tournament, you know, get eight teams, get six teams or whatever. And then he's like, well, we kind of revised it a little bit. They went to UCA, they went to UALR. It's going to be at Majestic Park again this year. Valley View, Bryant, Maumelle, Lone Oak will be there. So it's going to be a great 2 days. We're going to get to do Drive Time Sports from there on Wednesday. So a lot of good baseball, a lot of good tournaments. Of course, Huntsville, they're going to have their tournament. There will be teams that go down to the Gulf Coast, down in Panama City. But Robinson, Isaac Delaney, they're hosting a regional this year, and they're also hosting one of the largest spring break tournaments over a 3-day period in the South. They're going to have close to 30 teams down there at a few different locations. I know Benton is a host, Robinson, of course. But just throughout Central Arkansas, where you can catch really good baseball from dawn till dusk, pretty much, over the course of 3 days. It's an over 3-day period, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got teams that'll come in from Oklahoma. There's a team from Missouri that's coming in that's got five or six Division I Power 5 commits, you know, arms galore for days. Houston High School came over from last year and played Bryant. So a lot of good baseball, especially, you know, in the bigger metropolitan areas of the state, Northeast, Northwest, and then Central Arkansas. So if you can get out and catch some of these early season tournaments, definitely do it, because you get rivalries that spark out of these early season tournaments that turn into big things later in the year.
That's right. A lot of these tournaments that we see in both college baseball, college softball, I mean, big, of course, unfortunately, the softball big Clearwater tournament, all of that Sunday got rained out last week. Yeah. But the point is that some of these matchups that we see, multiple matchups that you see in the beginning of the season, end up paying dividends or end up playing a big part. And whether teams, you know, as far as like seeding, now I know that, you know, you got the conference seedings and all that stuff, but just as far as getting that kind of experience of playing that kind of talent, you just can't beat it. So definitely check out that, guys, at Majestic Park next week. And also we've got benefit games that are going on this week before. So if you just want to get a little taste of what's, I know, of course, you know, you're going to get everybody playing, including the JV players as well, but that just kind of gives you a little preview of what you might be seeing this year. But Kevin, great stuff as always, my man. We will look forward to seeing you, I guess, probably around mid-March or so, once we wrap up basketball and we get into baseball and softball full time.
Yeah, definitely come to the website next week. We'll have baseball and softball previews that'll be on the website, and we'll get our Super 7 rankings out there for the preseason.
That's right. And make sure that you always overreact to preseason rankings, because that's the way it's going to be at the end. So, but in all seriousness, thank you guys again for all the support. We are so looking forward to year three of this. Again, we couldn't do it without you guys. Thanks everybody for reaching out, for the comments, the recommendations as well. But that will do it for this edition of the baseball version. For Arkansas Prep Extra, for Kevin Bohannon and all of us here at SB Live, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you in mid-March.